This is the Agribusiness Report. Our special guest today, Dr. John Robinson, Texas A&M AgriLife Extension cotton marketing economist in College Station. He'll join us in just a moment. First off, how about Daniel Whitley, Administrator, USDA's Foreign Ag Service, discussing opportunities for U.S. ag trade in the U.K., United Kingdom.
The UK, they're a very strong trading partner. They boast a $3 trillion economy. They're our second largest market in Europe, but I think they have a lot of influence in that region of the world. We've had some difficulties and some barriers that we think were maybe not aligned with proper science over the years, and we think the opportunity to work with UK and educate their consumers, educate their ag sector on technology, innovation, food safety, and science can only grow the American agriculture brand and allow us to meet many more new customers in the region.
It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James, joined today by Dr. John Robinson, who's Texas A&M AgriLife cotton marketing economist in College Station. Great to see you.
Yeah, it's good to be here.
So, kind of dry, and as I look outside, I see the limbs blowing. Don't see any leaves on them, so that tells us two things. It's dry and it's windy. That's a concern going into a growing season.
It is somewhat resembling last year's drought, somewhat resembling the 2011, 12, 13 droughts that some of us remember. And it'll have an influence, I think, on planting behavior that's sort of unique to the Southern Plains compared to the influences of the market on planting behavior in the Delta and in the Southeast, because our insurance price was established at such a high level and because conditions are so bad, that's going to naturally steer people to insure cotton crops and plant cotton and then see what happens, which, as we know from last year, anything could happen. It could rain, or it could all fail, and it remains to be seen.
Well, I think you brought up some good points here. One, that we're looking at prices we really haven't seen at this time of a cycle, if you will. You go back to that $2 cotton we have. This is a completely different scenario, isn't it?
Yeah, it was dry then, and the insurance price was high. That's similar to now. The $2 cotton came about from other things in the world and involving pulling down cotton stocks for 4 years previously because of high corn prices. There were fundamental reasons, long-term fundamental reasons, that brought about that event that aren't the reason we have dollar cotton now. We had recovering demand and somewhat curtailed supplies because of the COVID disruption, and I think that led to the high, that plus some speculation led to the high prices that we're seeing now. Some of that effect may continue on for the 22 crop, and then we've got this drought situation which will hold up the price for the 22 crop, but it's a bit different than from 10 years ago. To the extent I can remember 10 years ago.
Sure. So we're also talking about input prices that are higher. So when we talk about input prices for cotton, there's two sides of this coin. It's the price of petroleum-based inputs, but then you've got the other side of that and some of the man-made fibers that are also seeing increases in prices. How do you throw all this into a blender and come out with something we can use at the end of the day?
Yeah, that particular question is hard to evaluate. You know, if petroleum is higher than petroleum distillate, and therefore polyester is higher, so how does that affect cotton? Does it benefit cotton straight out? Well, it makes cotton more expensive to grow too. So it's not clear. Number one, it's not clear to me just from that whether cotton benefits relative to polyester. The other aspect of that is that polyester, the majority of it, no, that's not the right way to say that, the largest country producing polyester is China. China has a lot of factories. They're going to run those factories, whether the price of polyester is high or low, they're going to run those factories. So it's there's a distortion there that kind of clouds that whole issue of whether a high oil price benefits cotton or not.
And then, again, on that input side, we've seen fertilizer prices at a level, really, that makes it difficult as well. What are some of the things you're hearing from producers before they actually put the planter in the ground for 2022? Some concerns, some thoughts that you're hearing?
Well, some of them, my West Texas audiences, are definitely reflecting on how different it is when major inputs, not just fertilizer, you know, the ones that pump water with electric driven wells are telling me that their electricity bill is 30% higher, and that's the legacy of the freeze from a year ago, I think. So it's more expensive to water. It's more expensive to fertilize. I think in West Texas, the natural response is going to be to cut inputs, probably plant more cotton and insure it, but definitely cut inputs until such time as you have a stand to come back and side dress or, you know, jump on the weeds, assuming it starts raining and you have a flush of weeds. But I think a lot of input decisions are going to be kind of wait and see, which is a rational thing if you can get back over the ground fast enough when you see that you need to go out and put out herbicide. But I think folks are going to first just wait and see what if the crop fails or not. And to me, that's a rational, perfectly rational response before you put a bunch of expensive inputs into the ground. And that's different. That's a drought-related response that I think will be different than what a Delta farmer or a Georgia farmer does. They're dealing with just the price of fertilizer, and we're dealing with a drought response fundamentally, plus the input costs are so high that you really are going to think twice before you potentially waste them.
We also have supply chain disruptions that are well documented. Is it possible that we've seen mills buying up possibly more than they're actually using at this point? Because if you can get a shipment, or you need to be buying more just to ensure you can get what you need to operate. Are we seeing maybe a distortion there as well?
Yeah, I've heard that very scenario described to me from cotton merchants that, their mill customers are essentially they're overbought because they're underdelivered, which hopefully that situation is improving. If you look at the weekly cotton shipments, they were flat and at a low level, subpar level for half of the marketing year, and now they've picked up. And hopefully that's the result of more availability of everything you need, trucks and containers and boat space. But the flip side of that is if these mills are overbought, then at some point they may get everything they need, in which case there may be a lull in the rather decent export sales that we've been seeing for the last month or so.
Because I guess at the end of the day, we can talk about what the value of cotton is, but the value is really what somebody's willing to pay, right?
It is, and that's a function of how much it costs to get cotton from here to there, which all those expenses because of the supply chain disruption have been higher. But the shippers are dealing with high prices and potentially high costs of holding on to cotton when the market is inverted, which just means that the later futures prices are lower, and they have an incentive to move that cotton now. So I think they're just going to up and do it. We'll have to see how the supply chain disruption question plays out.
We've talked about the High Plains. We've talked about Delta, Georgia area. But sometimes we forget there's already cotton in the ground in South Texas. We grow there up along the Coastal Bend region. And in some years, those guys have been able to hit some home runs when maybe other producers have been challenged. On the other side of that, they've lost crops to hurricanes at the end of the season. What are you hearing out of the producers to the south?
It's been a dry year in South Texas, too. I haven't heard many reports from the valley, but ordinarily they start planting as early as late February if it's warm enough and if they've got moisture on their dry land. So we'll have to see how that goes. I've heard Corpus is beginning to plant, but it's dry there from Corpus up to Victoria area. So they need a few more planting rains. They do have the advantage of being the earliest new crop in the country, and generally they plant high quality varieties. So, but you're right, they need the right weather at harvest time, which they've had some trouble with that in recent years, although last year was an excellent year for them.
Final one here, just a minute or so left. Usually when we're talking cotton, we're talking upland cotton, right? But we've seen really a movement, if you will, especially on the high plains, for more Pima type acres, that extra long staple, if you will. Is that a trend? Is it a fad? Is it a trend? Do we know yet?
I don't know yet. It's a trend in the sense that it's expanding recently. There's the ginning facility at Maples. Is that right? If you build it, they will come. So there's a place to take it. So I've heard of growers around Haskell who are growing Pima, planning on growing Pima, shipping to that destination. So it's something new. Pima is a slower growing, variety. It doesn't take bruising as well as upland varieties do. So it probably has a niche, and like anything, people will try it and decide it's not for them, or it is. You know, it'll probably find its niche. I don't think the whole southern plains are going to be covered up with Pima, or it's going to replace upland, but it has its place.
Well, I just thought I'd throw that one out because I don't think you and I've ever talked really about Pima cotton ever. So that's a thanks for letting me throw that at you. Wish you the best for 2022. Hope to see you soon.
Thanks.
Again, Dr. John Robinson, who's Texas A&M AgriLife Cotton Marketing Economist in College Station on today's Agribusiness Report.
Beef cattle producers, survival is not enough. Prosperity is our goal. And the 2022 Beef Cattle Conference in Canadian, Texas, Tuesday and Wednesday, April 26th and 27th, will provide you the information you need to prosper during these turbulent times. Get your tickets now to see former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo and 10 other experts share their vision for your future. Call 806-323-9114. That's 323-9114. Call now. Seating is limited.
The best thing you can put on your crop is your shadow. Your need to be in the field won't change, and the Cotton Research and Promotion Program was put into place to make sure you get the most from every minute you're out there. That's why the Cotton Board and Cotton Incorporated work alongside growers to spur innovation, fund research, and foster sustainability so generations of farming families can walk the same turn rows for years to come. Forever Cotton. Visit cottonboard.org/forevercotton. Welcome back. You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Our special guest today, Dr. John Robinson, Texas A&M AgriLife Economist.
At Golden Harvest, our best skill is knowing how to listen. From our Gold Series soybean and game-changing corn portfolios to our expert insights housed in the Illuminate Digital Agronomy platform, everything we offer is an answer to what we've heard from you. This is how we listen.
Copyright 2021 Syngenta. The trademarks or service marks used herein are the property of a Syngenta Group company. All other trademarks are the property of their respective owners.
Farming is an art and a science. Test out the greatest innovations for your crops at Livingston Machinery. The Sunflower 9413 grain drill is perfect for creating the ideal environment for emergence and growth. Whether it's no-till, minimum till, or conventional seeding, the Sunflower 9413 is easily adjusted to do it all. Experience the Sunflower quality and see why it's farmers' first choice. Learn more at livingstonmachinery.com and to find a location near you. Livingston Machinery, 24/7 service for your 24/7 operation.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Again, our special guest, Dr. John Robinson, Texas A&M AgriLife cotton marketing economist.
United Ag is one of the largest association health plans to offer healthcare benefits for the agricultural industry. Their mission is to bring innovative healthcare solutions to agriculture by meeting their members' employee benefit needs. Join today and take advantage of the premier benefits offered by United Ag. United Ag is committed to contributing to a strong and healthy ag industry. For more information or to join, visit www.unitedag.org.
Beef cattle producers, survival is not enough. Prosperity is our goal. And the 2022 Beef Cattle Conference in Canadian, Texas, Tuesday and Wednesday, April 26th and 27th, will provide you the information you need to prosper during these turbulent times. Get your tickets now to see former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo and 10 other experts share their vision for your future. Call 806-323-9114. That's 323-9114. Call now. Seating is limited.
It's the Agribusiness Report.
The largest March 1st inventory of cattle in feedlots ever. That's what USDA is reporting in Friday's Cattle on Feed report. The big 12.2 million head inventory coming from a huge number of placements into feedlots during February. 1.85 million head, 9% more than a year ago.
It is at the high end of the range of what industry analysts were thinking the numbers were going to be.
USDA livestock analyst Shale Shagham says continued drought in the southern plains, one factor that had some producers sending more animals to feedlots soon.
And the other factor, of course, is the relatively high prices of wheat.
The highest in years.
And some producers that may have thought about keeping the cattle on wheat a little bit longer may have chosen to send some of those cattle into the feedlots to maximize the potential returns from the current prices of wheat.
This surge in feedlot inventories may cause a short-term weakness in cattle prices, but once this surge is worked through,
supplies are going to be tightening. And it's going to be supportive to prices,
which are already running ahead of a year ago. This is Gary Crawford, Washington.